I'll say it again. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Woo. And we do have an answer coming for our wall back here. We've been given permission, and we bought a huge, massive screen that will be somehow, we're not really sure about this part, somehow attached to the wall up there, and then it's by remote. So the screen just rolls down and rolls back up, and it's black, so it'll go right in with their wall, the piece that's on top. So, yay. So pray for us to figure out the mounting and the connecting. I think we're going to run it up and over something up here kind of thing. So anyway, God is providing. He's moving and working and giving us favor. So thank you, Lord. So we're continuing on with one way to provision, or one way to provision, in Isaiah 43:19. And I want to read it to you again in a couple of the translations. In the New King James, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The Amplified says, "Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Last week, we talked about the specialness of 2025, right? The specialness really of 25, but it's a special year. And in this year, when we celebrate it as an anniversary, it's known as being silver. And silver is to show us that something endures. It's valuable, but it's usable, right? And it has strength and endurance. It's also a celebration of the growth and changes that have happened. It's a time of reflection and appreciation of the past, but also a looking forward in anticipation. So that's what we know what 2020 or 25 represents. And now we're going to look a little bit more specifically into the word. And it says, we talked last week again, that God is going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And I shared with you about how that sometimes my kids spring forth to scare me. And I shouldn't have preached on it last week because Luke got the idea he would do it again this week. And we get, you know, those Amazon things where they knock on your door and they leave a little package. And, you know, so a knock came on the door and I knew I was getting a package. And so I went out and I always say thank you, even if I don't see the people, because I figure they're, you know, already back to their car. But, you know, just being nice, right? I'm saying thank you. And so I reached down to pick up my package and I was like, thank you. And I hear this from the side right here, "You're welcome." And I was like, so I guess he didn't necessarily say boo, he just said "you're welcome." Yeah, my heart was racing. Anyway, so springing forth, right? We want to keep that image. I know it's a silly thing and it's funny, but we do need to keep that image that it's going to spring forth. And it might startle you. What? God, are you serious? That person got saved? Are you kidding me? I mean, I've been praying, but they're saved? Anybody want to believe for that this morning? That kind of springing forth? That kind of new thing? Lord, are you serious? Does this check really say what I think it says? Are you serious, God? And from this source, I'm looking for those springing forth new ways, amen, that God's about to do. But today we're going to be looking at the next part of the verse which says, "I will make a way in the wilderness." That was the King James. The New King James says, "Make a road in the wilderness." Amplified says the same thing, "road in the wilderness." And then in the CEV, we talked about roads in the desert. So when this passage of scripture was written, it was written over in the Middle East, right? And so their idea of wilderness is not like ours. So whenever I hear the word wilderness, I picture here, wilderness, right? Where there's trees, there's so many trees, you can hardly find your way sometimes. Anybody ever been hiking out in like the woods where there's no trail? And isn't it surprising how fast that you can get lost if you're not paying attention and you don't know where you're at, right? Because you become disoriented because all of a sudden, I know I saw that tree. I'm almost positive I saw that tree, right? That's what I think of wilderness. Over there, their idea of wilderness is sand. Lots and lots of sand. But do you know that you can also get lost when the sand looks exactly the same as the sand you saw behind you and around you and in front of you? So it really doesn't necessarily matter if you see your desert or your wilderness like they did, or if you see our wilderness. It's still someplace you cannot get out of on your own. Amen? The definition here of way in the Hebrew is derech. It primarily refers to a physical path or road, but it is also used metaphorically to describe a course in life. Culturally, this word meant roads or paths, and they were crucial for travel, trade, and communication. The concept of way was deeply embedded in the culture of the time. Why is this important to know? Because Isaiah is talking to the people he's writing to, right? So if we don't understand where they're at, it's going to be hard for us to grasp this. The way, that phrase was very common back then, okay? So when he says, I'm making a way, they automatically went, oh, a road. He's providing something that is a clear path for me to get from point A to point B. Does that make sense? I also like this, that they were crucial for travel, trade, and communication. Travel is moving forward, right? Trade is provision. Communication is an open line with God. Amen? Because when you're someplace and you don't know where you are in the middle of nowhere, your first mode of operation is panic. Oh God, what do I do, right? I remember my dad, of course I was little, so everything looked the same and I thought we were lost, but he always found his way out. But I remember we were over at Wallawa Lake, and if you've never been there, you should go there sometime. It's beautiful. And the lake is positioned with between like this literally a wall of trees, like just hill of trees. And then behind that is mountains. And so he took us for a hike one time, and we just kept going up and up and up. And I was like, okay, where are we? And he was like, I know where we are. We're okay. And I was like, are you sure? It wasn't a trail. We were just out there walking, right? And he brought us to this clearing, and he's like, turn around. And we turn around, and there was a lake. And all of a sudden, I knew right where I was at, right? Because I had a point of reference. Oh, cake. We just turn around and go down. But like I said, I was probably 8. In your mind, you aren't thinking, go back the way you came. You're thinking, I hope he knows where he's going, right? In our mind. But sometimes we get that way with God. When he takes us and we're following his steps, we get to this point and we're like, oh, wow, where are we? I took my step of faith, but I don't really see a way. Amen? Anybody ever been there before? You're like, okay, God, anytime now, right? And of course, we know as our Heavenly Father that he is not lost, right? But sometimes we can feel lost. We can feel like, how did I end up way out here in the middle of nowhere? And I want to encourage you today, he has a plan. Amen? He has a plan. You are right where you're supposed to be for that time in your life. Amen? And I'm so glad that he has those moments where he allows us to do a turnaround and go, oh, there's the lake, right? Not necessarily the lake in your life, but you know what I'm saying? He shows you where you're at. And then when you see where you're at, all of a sudden, a road appears. Now, this is the exciting part. A road appears. That means you can keep moving forward. There will be provision as long as you keep in communication with your Heavenly Father. Amen. So wilderness in those days in Hebrew meant midbar, which was uninhabited, barren, desolate, sparse vegetation, and solitude. So this is describing their wildernesses, okay? But listen to what it says. Uninhabited, barren, desolate. You ever felt like that before in your life? Any of those phrases that you're just like, where are you, God? I'm here, where are you, right? Culturally, in ancient Israel, the wilderness was significant geographical and spiritual concepts. It was seen as a place of both danger but divine encounter. Danger but divine encounter. How many people know when you're following the Lord, there is a certain amount of danger because you have an adversary, the devil, who does not want you to get where you're supposed to go. So he's going to make you feel like you are lost. Are you ever lost when you know the Lord? No. You are never lost. He always knows where you are. You may not know where you are, but you can trust him to provide a what? A way. A way. So why is this important with our tithes and offerings? Because we are coming into a season of great blessing, I believe. But we can't quit. We can't just go, oh, the right government is in place. Whoo, let's move forward. Coast. Don't coast. If you're coasting, you know what happens when you're coasting in a boat on a river? You're going backwards. We are in a river of life. We can't coast. We need to put the pedal to the floor of the boat and get right on out there where God has called us to be. Why does it start with our finances? Because if you are not tithing and giving, you are not going to be in the right flow. You're not going to be in the right flow. God asks for our 10%. When we give our 10% and then offerings besides, when you listen to the voice of God, it will put you in a place where you will see the road. And it will be very clear, whether it's physically or spiritually, God will make it clear to you. Because we went back last week and we talked about who is doing the new thing. I am is doing the new thing. God is doing the new thing. We were talking about the definition of what I am means to us as Christians. It means I am whatever it is you need me to be. Your healer, your deliverer, your provision, your safety, your savior, your family savior, whatever it is, the I am is there. And that is who is going to do the new thing in your life. And not only will he do that new thing, he is going to tell you, no matter where you are, if you feel like you are in a desert or a wilderness of some kind, and you feel like it's barren, it's desolate, it's uninhabited, and you're all by yourself, he's going to call out to you and say, turn around. Turn around. I'm right here. Dad's right here. I've never left. Look, there's the lake. And all of a sudden, the way becomes so clear of how to get to where you need to go. Amen? Aren't you so glad for the word of God? This is an incredible word. And then when you couple that with what 25 means, it means you were made to endure this. You can get through this. Why? Because you have seasoned yourself. You are valuable and you are usable to God in 2025. Amen. Amen. He has a plan. You have strength and endurance. You can look back and praise God for where he's brought you to, but don't just stop there. Turn around and look where God is taking you next. Amen? You are not alone in 2025. You keep being faithful with what he's called you to do, and you be watching for the year welcomes as your gift arrives. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. You are so faithful. And this year, Father, we don't want to wander. We don't want to get off course. But God, I know there are times when you take us through seasons where it can feel like, where are we, God? I pray we would not give up in those moments, but we would hold fast to you, knowing we have planted our seed, we have acted in obedience and done what you've asked us to do, so we can rely on your faithfulness. Because that's what you are. You are faithful, Father. You will never leave us, and you will never forsake us. And when you promise, you perform. And so, Father, I thank you that you have promised us a new thing in our finances this year. I praise you, Father. You have promised us a way, a road out of this place that looks like it's desolate. It looks like it's uninhabited. It looks like things are sparse, but not with you. I thank you, Father, for the riches that you are bringing to the people in this congregation, Father, from the north, south, east, and the west. Draw them in. When the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, cut him off before he even gets there. I thank you, Father. Our finances are protected. If the devil tries to come against our finances, we need to rise up with our silver swords because we're in year 25. And tell him, no, I have endured to this point. You are not taking one thing away from me, devil. I stand with the authority God has given me, and I say no more. And I thank you, Father, when that wealth comes into our hands, you are giving us the wisdom to know what to do with it, where to plant it, where to sow it, where to bless others, but also what to do with it in our own lives, Father. We are to be blessed, to be a blessing, but we start with being blessed. Because we're your kids. And so, God, I just thank you right now for giving us supernatural wisdom when those finances come in. And we praise you in advance, Father, that we are debt-free, that we are financially free, that even those that may look like they are on a fixed income, Father, we are fixing our eyes on you, and you can bring things that no one ever dreamed of, Father, ways to provide in Jesus' name. And so we praise you for all of those things in advance. Bless every seed that's sown today. Bless the sower. And Father, we are looking forward in anticipation for what you're going to do in 2025. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's pray over this message. God has a word for us today, and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, Lacey was a miracle baby. She was basically born not breathing, and a miracle of God happened in that room, right? Shelly had toxemia. It was induced labor. She was a preemie. Of course, Shelly, not in the room, but she has... How many of moms usually have all the details? Weight and how many weeks and, you know. And the dad, we're just trying to hold it down, right? Praying in the spirit. But she was born. And our doctor told us later, I thought I had delivered my first, or lost my first baby. What happened in there? And we said, Jesus happened in there, right? We began to pray in the spirit. At that moment when everything was happening, I was in children's ministry at the time, and we had just done CPR training for our staff, and they were doing CPR. They opened up the wall, and these people were amazing that were in the room. They were just the best of the best. And I found out later that they were Christian people too. This was over at Providence, and our nurse was a Christian, and she stuck her head out. This is our first baby. We didn't know. What is this, normal, you know? And she stuck her head out the door, pray, everybody. Our family was out there. And it was a family victory. It was basically, my pastor back then, Pastor Huck, said it was a resurrection, right? Because she wasn't breathing, basically stillborn. And we began to pray in the spirit, and God brought to our remembrance while we were praying in the spirit. Shelly and I were just there. You know, she was obviously on the gurney, and the doctor looked at me, and he, in his mind, he thought, I lost my first baby. And he said, I need you to help me with her. Because he thought she was just going to lose it, right? And we locked eyes because we need to pray in a spirit. So we began praying in the Holy Ghost, right in front of the doctor and everybody. And immediately, a word came to us that my pastor had just been preaching, God is the breath of life. Pastor Huck was preaching. They still tell the story, too. Right? It's, everybody remembers this because it was a huge victory, right? And we began to say that, right? In the name of Jesus, we bind death and we loosen the... And this is all happening like in a... She's not breathing. They're doing CPR very calmly, but very quickly, you know? And they're talking amongst you, and they said, she needs this, she needs that. And that's how I knew we had a daughter. You know, we didn't peak that time. The rest of them we did. But that's how we knew we had a daughter. It was a 10-minute intense prayer and intercession, but not in fear. Not in fear at all. The power of God was in the room. You know, before all of that began to happen, I kept having a song come up in my spirit. That song, My Deliverer is Coming. My Deliverer is Standing By. It just kept coming up in my spirit while we were waiting. And to this day, that's a special song to me. Right? And then while we're praying and saying these words, I felt the Lord say, name her. Name her. And we said, she's Lacey Joy, cheerful joy, right? And then the guy over at one of the people over working on her said, "She's biting my finger." And boy, that determination has never left her, right? I'm not letting go. Fighter, fighter. She was fighting too. Fighter. And she came through, began to breathe on her own. They put her in a little incubator for 24 hours, and ever since then, happily ever after. And, you know, years later, we met the nurse. We just bumped into her at a store. "How's Lacey's doing? We still talk about her. We still talk about Lacey, right?" And we told her how she's excelling in school. She's always been, all of our kids have been, but just a straight-A student, very smart. She's, "Are you kidding me?" She's like, "That's even more of a miracle, because normally when this type of thing happens, they're at least delayed a little bit." How many of we have a God that is a complete and total healer, right? But the doctor told us in the checkup, he said, he's like, "Okay, now I want you guys to tell me what happened in the room. What happened in the room? What happened?" And we say, "Well, we know that Jesus was there and he did the work," right? I don't remember exactly how we said it, but we prayed, and you know, you're trying to explain to somebody. And he said, "Well, believe me, God heard you." And my response was, "No, sir, death heard me. Death heard us and stayed its hand." Right? But what a amazing story. And we've all got these kinds of stories, right, about things that we've encountered and the ways God has brought us through. But we need to celebrate them and remember them and recall them and talk about them, because it gives us faith for the next battle, right? But boy, what an amazing daughter you have been, Lacey. Amen. And still are. Hallelujah. And I didn't mean to embarrass you, or, but that story needs to be told, right? Because it's a true story. And there's the proof. Glory to God. Glory to his name forevermore. Yeah, and there's the Hucks still talk about it in Texas, and the Mikowskis talk about it over here in Gresham, and the Sigmunds and people that were there. And we, of course, will never forget. Somebody say, never forget. Never forget. I had a friend of mine, as you're sharing with another guy back then, and he said, "Well," he asked me this, "Well, what do you think God was trying to teach you?" Isn't it amazing how we get this religious mindset sometimes of God's doing this, and what is he trying to teach you? And my reply was, nothing. It's what he already had taught me that came out in that moment. I mean, if you ask yourself, "God, what are you trying to teach me right now?" You're going down, man. You are going down. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's what's the word say? Hallelujah. And that's why it's so powerful to be praying in the Holy Ghost, because that came in tongues. So anybody who wants to criticize praying in tongues, there's a testimony. People can argue about theology and, you know, but you can't argue with someone's testimony. It worked, right? Direct line to heaven. Because, I mean, in that kind of moment, you, what are you going to say in English? Help! Woe is me! Or start cursing, or, you know, blaming people, and that's not going to help anybody. No, you pray in the Holy Ghost and you listen. Just this morning, again, I was coming to this traffic light and the Lord said, "Slow down and look." It was green. And right as I slowed down to look, this demon-possessed driver, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are straight up devil-driven, drugs, whatever, lawlessness. They don't care about speed limits. They don't care about red lights. They're under the influence of the devil. And they're on the roads. Some of them are in office. But let's not go there right now. But here he comes, right? This direction. Wham! I mean, if we would have been there a second, if I wouldn't have stopped, If I just would have, hey, we're running a little late to get to church, and I just would have gunned it through the light, we'd have got T-boned. Right in my door. Pray and listen like our life depends on it. Right? It's important. We don't live in fear, but it's really good to be praying and be sensitive and be listening. Glory to God. And then we have a testimony. And I stopped right there, and the light's still green. And I said, guys, did you notice what just happened? The devil just tried to take us out, but the Lord said, slow down, and I listened. So he lost again. Lost. He lost. He tried and he failed again. Glory to God forevermore. So it's important to remember these things and recall them. Tell them to your children. Tell them to your grandchildren. Amen. And today's message, we're in the spirit right now. I mean, you just go with what he says to do, right? Hallelujah. Oh, praise Jesus. But I wanted to, by the Spirit of God, I just felt stirred to talk about the core values of our church, which really, when we were coming into being as a church, I really hooked up with Eagle Mountain International Church in Texas, Pastor George and Terry Pearson's. So a lot of this comes straight from their core values. And I was listening to their one of their associate ministers, John Jester, on Wednesday night as I was driving around working, because they start 2 hours earlier, so sometimes I pull up their Wednesday night service, and he was talking about their core values. And so I thought in my lightning fast brain, perhaps, because, you know, we had Vision Day, on which was powerful, but we focused a lot more on the prophetic. We kind of blew through this stuff, like that guy blew through the traffic light. Right. So I just want to spend a day talking about this and the importance of it. Amen. But Redeemed Church, our foundation chapter really in the Bible is Psalm 107 verse 1. Actually, Psalm 107, the entire chapter, verse 2 specifically, which says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can open to Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I mean, those two things we just talked about are examples of redeemed, saved. Now, I mean, if Lacey had gone to heaven that moment, we'd be looking forward to seeing her in heaven. We'd know where she is. But you don't just quit in a battle and say, God's will be done. We know what God's will is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I think Brother Hagin or somebody said that, right? Amen. His word is his will is redemption, save, deliver, heal, prosper, change the environment, change the situation to the glory of God, right? But in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. How many know it's good to be giving thanks to the Lord regularly, especially when you don't feel thankful? When you feel like complaining and griping, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, right? Just those are the best times to just lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you that this hand doesn't hurt. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Find something to thank him for. For he is good. Somebody say he's good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. That's a good prayer to pray every day. Father God, I call people in to your kingdom from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He's a gatherer. There's angels that are gathering angels. Amen. And we send them out every day. And this whole chapter lays out people that he wants to save. Amen. Like verse 4 talks about wanderers. There are people out there that are just wandering. They don't know what truth is. They don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way is left, which way is right, would be difference between light and darkness, good and evil. They don't know. They're wandering. Right? But it says in verse 6, he delivered them out of their distress. How many know wandering is distressing? They're distressed. They don't know what truth is. But he's in the business of delivering them out of their distresses. And in verse 10, it talks about people who are sitting in darkness, bound in affliction, bound, literally bound by the devil. Bound by the devil. How many know none of this is God's plan for anybody? To wander spiritually, physically, financially, to be bound in sitting in darkness, bound by affliction. But look at verse 13, it says, and he saved them out of their distresses. See, God gets no pleasure out of watching people wander or being bound. That's why he created this thing called the church, to get his truth out there. Amen? Verse 17 talks about fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Sickness. Right? But verse 19 says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, healed them, healed them. He's a healer. So it's not, he doesn't get any joy or enjoyment out of seeing people sick. He's a healer. Amen. Verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Business, finances. People that are messed up financially. That brings great distress on people, right? But the word says in verse 28 there, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out. Somebody say, he brings them out of their distresses. This is the plan of God, the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, right? Amen? No wandering, no affliction, no being, you know, bound to the devil, right? Hallelujah. Sickness, he doesn't want it. He wants to be healed. He wants you to prosper. Not the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen? So freedom financially. All these things come from God, right? And then the final verses, 41, you can read the entire chapter as homework if you like, right? But 41 through 43, he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. Glory to God. He makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice. And all iniquity, all, somebody say all, iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Loving kindness is also mercy, mercy. All of these things are an act of his mercy toward us and his love toward us. It all begins with love. Amen? Amen. That brings us to the core six, the core values. What I really feel the Lord wants us to focus in on today is we are in the Holy Ghost, and by faith, we want to believe that we are cultivating an environment for this type of stuff to happen, where people come in bound and they leave free. They come in poor and they leave rich, right? They come in hopeless and blind spiritually, and they leave with clear vision spiritually, right? They come in sick and leave healed. They come in bound, they leave free. But we, as the body, as the believers, where two or more are gathered together, we are people that are cultivating this mindset so that it's an environment of redemption, of breakthrough, personally and corporately, right? Amen. And just remembering some of these core values is a good checklist, like an airplane pilot that has their checklist they go through. They should, right? Before they leave the ground, right? Amen. These are good little gauges to be checking. First one here is we walk in love. Ephesians 5. Somebody say we walk in love. Amen? So we're not judgmental toward people. Remembering that the same God that saved me will save them too. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, the New King James says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Somebody say, love God and love people. It's a love thing. Be imitators of God, and we know the Bible actually says God is love. So we can actually say, be imitators of love as dear children. Walk in love. Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering. No greater love. There's so many scriptures about the love of God. And the slogan of our church is Redeemed Church, where love reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. Now, a really important detail of this is love God. It doesn't say love people, then love God. You love God first, and then you can effectively love people. If we love people first, and then God, it gets out of whack. That's where you begin to be a church that's more influenced by the culture than influencing the culture with the Word of God. Amen? So we love the truth first. Amen. The body of Christ needs to remember this. The church needs to remember this because it's been epidemic where churches are not so concerned about not offending anybody that they never hear the truth, they never hear the word, right? And grace can become something more like a license to do what everybody wants to do because he's a God of grace, which he is. But grace means this, divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So grace is not a sin Visa card. Just go do what you want to do. It's covered. No. Somebody say, love God. Love God. And then love people. Put God first. Put love first. Because people, sometimes love has to be tough. Sometimes love has to show where the boundaries are. Amen. Any parent who says they love their child, but they let their child do whatever they want on their phone, hang out with whoever they want, no curfew, no boundaries whatsoever. Why? Because I love them. No, you don't. You hate them then. You hate them. Right? Love has boundaries. And we stay within those boundaries. And somebody say, this is the boundaries. Right here, right? Amen. We're going to be going into, in the next number of weeks, talking about the Ten Commandments. And love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think that's one of the verses down here. We'll come to that in a minute. But it's going to be, the Ten Commandments are boundaries. They're actually the foundation of law and order. Right? Hallelujah. Next one, we live by faith. Somebody say, we live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And Pastor George just preached an amazing message last Sunday, the 5th, I think that was the 5th, on living by faith. And I love it. It's just like a faith pep talk. Amen. EMIC.org, Sunday, January 5th, George Pearson's. Check it out. It's one to put on. Maybe I should listen to that more than once. Talking to me, of course, right? But the verse says here, Romans 1, 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone." Somebody say, for everyone, right? "For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are a faith church. I declare that in Jesus' name. And Pastor George was talking about doing faith checkups on yourself. He said, just listen to what you're saying or what thoughts you're meditating on. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to me right now. Am I staying in faith or am I in fear? Amen. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a mindset. Sometimes I train employees for our business. And one of the main things I have to help them with often is, you know what you need to do is get into a mindset of what we're here to do, because you don't have it right now. If you want to go home at 1:30, you don't have a mindset of putting in a full day's work. I told one guy, I said, if I get home at 3 o'clock, like you're talking about doing, my wife's going to ask me, what are you doing home at 3 o'clock, right? And faith is a mindset. If you think you just have to believe while things are going well, then you don't need faith, right? Faith is for the battle, man. Faith, that's why God gave us armor. Pastor Huck would say he didn't give me a tutu. He gave me armor. And one of the pieces is called the shield of faith. Right? To take up the arrows the devil is shooting at us every day, fiery darts to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody say, keep your faith shield up. Amen. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. And Pastor Rick's message, or word for the year, we talked about that last week, was batten down the hatchets. There's a storm coming. Now, that's not to get people in fear, but Pastor George brought more light to that last week. He talked about the verse where Paul was saying, some people's faith has been shipwrecked. And one translation says it's because they lost their moral compass. And again, we watched that movie, The Spirit of St. Louis. And he's flying, he can't even see through the cockpit. And he's flying from first flight from New York to Paris. And he's got like a periscope, but it's dark sometimes, right? But right above his head, somebody say above his head, they put a compass so he would know which direction he's going in, right? So if I lose my moral compass, my faith will be shipwrecked. That's one of the things, I believe, huge thing, actually, that meaning of batten down the hatchets. It's don't be playing around with your faith. Don't be playing around and questioning right and wrong, and keep your moral compass intact. Batten down the hatchets. Somebody say, this is faith. This is faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Next one is we pray about everything. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. How many know prayer is vital? Prayer is vital. And Pastor Shelley has always had an email prayer. Every week she brings it up, and there's prayer requests and praise reports, and you just email redeemedfam@gmail is our email. And you can get a prayer request on the, we all agree, it's not a worry, it's not a worry list or a fear list or an unbelief list. It is a prayer list. And it's the word, we pray about everything, literally means everything. Some people think, well, God's too busy to think, he's too busy with LA right now to keep gas in my car. No. Do you understand how big he is? And do you understand people are involved and devils are involved in what's happening in LA? God didn't do that. Well, what about all the starving people in all these other countries? Hey, how many know God is able to feed them and give you a multi-million-dollar house? And you should have no shame about this. Right? If your heart is to be a blessing, your heart is right. He's that big, right? So when it says everything, anything, that means everything and anything. Hallelujah. Somebody say he cares about that too. Whatever that is. You're his son, you're his daughter. This is an important thing to get. Akira was emphasizing that when he spoke to us. He's my father. He's not the man upstairs, somebody up there. No, he's my heavenly father. So it says this, the New Living Translation, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, right? Tell God. Somebody say, tell God. But sometimes we just want to tell everybody else but God, right? Somebody say, tell God. Go before the throne. Take it to him. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Don't forget to thank him for all he's already done. Amen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will be a guard to your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And see, this is really, in one statement, I think that's in terms of cultivating an environment for other people that you might meet or that come in these doors. It's that live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I live in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Which includes prayer, fellowship. Prayer changes things. I remember a sign when, back when my in-laws lived in Portland, and mom had a sign right by the door that said, have you prayed about it? I don't know if you still have that or not, but there was a statement right before you leave the house. Have you prayed about it? Hallelujah. That's a great thing to remember because prayer changes things. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, I pray about everything. I pray about it. And then I chew on it and I pray about it, praying the Holy Ghost over it. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. Praying in the Spirit is really important. Praying in English, your whatever tongue you speak in, is very important. But spend time praying in the Spirit. If a person's face comes up in your mind, pray, and there might be something you're supposed to pray about. If you have a dream at night and you wake up thinking about something, God, like a night vision came to you, pray about it. Right? Spend some time praying about it. If you're having trouble sleeping, get up and pray. I have some things in my phone, just, you know, those note pages you can have in your phone, and they're prayer lists. If the devil wakes me up at night, then I'm going to be praying. Right? Yeah. Got lists where I pray over nations. Right? Or people, or ministries, or ministers, or, you know what I'm saying? Laying hold of God and bringing things before him. Angels are awaiting orders. Akira, again, our friend that was here from Japan, he sent me an email with a link to it about John G. Lake when he had an angelic visit on Mount Tabor in Portland. He lived in Portland for a while, and he couldn't sleep one night, and he got out and was just kind of walking around, praying, and he saw this light coming down the trail, and he thought it maybe was a security guard or something with a flashlight, and it was an angel from God. And he began to speak to John G. Lake about nations, India and Africa, and he had a big thing about Portland. Amazing, right? Angels are listening for orders. We don't pray to angels, but your prayers give them orders. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say, pray about it. Pray about it, right? Amen. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Especially if it's a pressure point, something fearful or bringing worry or care to your mind. Pray about it. Roll the care over it onto Jesus. Have a faith buddy, Keith Moore says. So somebody you can call. You have our email, of course, us. But you have people you can, where two or more agree in prayer, and pray together over it. Touch it together. Amen. The next one, I got to step it up here. We put God's word first. Deuteronomy 6:5-7. Somebody say, we put God's word first. So pray the word, right? What's the word say about it before you pray about it? Amen. It takes a little bit of work, right? Dig into the word, find a scripture or two or more witnesses, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, Deuteronomy 6:5-7, Amplified Classic. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being, with all your might. And these words, which I am commanding you this day, shall be first, somebody say first, in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. See, this is called battening down the hatchets. There's an intensity to this. It's not something we just do at Easter and Christmas. This is an around-the-clock watch. Amen. And loving it. There was one day, a couple years ago, I was talking to my dad, and he's taught me a work ethic over the years, right? And I was complaining to him about an aspect of my job. And he just looked at me and he goes, Steve, you have to love it. Correction. I took the correction. You have to love it. It's providing for your family. You need to love it. Embrace it, right? Hallelujah. So we love the word. We feed on the word. We study the word. We love it. Even Leviticus. We love it. Somebody say, I love Leviticus. Right? You'll find something anywhere you put. If you pick the book up and start reading, it's spiritual nourishment, not junk food. There's a lot of junk food out there in the spirit realm. But this is real food for our spirit man, right? There's no higher authority than God's word. We must replace religious traditions with the timeless truth of God's word. Amen. And then the next one, we make disciples. Somebody say, we make disciples. Matthew 28:18-19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go therefore. Somebody say, go. Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice it doesn't say, go therefore and make Christians. Go and make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Discipline is in that word, right? People that want to be followers of Christ, dedication, discipleship. And we're not going to make disciples if we're not disciples ourselves. There's a lot of people out there that have a little bit of an arrogance to them where they just want to go and be an authority somewhere, but they're not interested in following Jesus themselves. They just want to go somewhere where people will listen to them. Right? It's not my ability he's interested in. It's my availability that he's interested in. A lot of good, talented people out there, more talented than me, but they're not available to God. They're more focused on their credentials. Right? It's not my ability, it's my availability he's looking for. Somebody say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Another thing with the business training I've been talking about is I'll tell guys, you have to be committed to the process. You can't come in here and make up your own way of doing this. You need to be committed to the process. Teachability equals job security. Coachability equals job security. Right? Amen, right? Hallelujah. And then finally, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Somebody say, Abba, Father. He's our daddy. He's our heavenly Father. Glory to God. I'm his son. Or you're his daughter or his son. Somebody say, if you're a daughter, say I'm a daughter. If you're a son, say I'm a son. I'm his son. Or I'm his daughter, right? He speaks to me spirit to spirit. I'm listening and I obey. And I've had people tell me, well, you know, if I could just hear his voice audibly, then I would go ahead and follow. It's like, well, that's not the way he set this up. You don't get to tell him what to do. God is spirit. And speaking to you spirit to spirit is even more intimate than whispering in your ear. And you might want to check it if an angel or some sort of a spiritual being shows up and says, I have a word for you. You might want to check it. Because that's how some of these false religions began. A vision, an angel. One of them I can think of, the angel showed up and said, you know, all those churches are doing it wrong. I want you to fix it. I'm going to give you the rest of the story to the Bible. And you go do this, you know, he gave him a whole, it was a straight up lie from hell. From an angel. How many know the devil is a fallen angel? Amen. Glory to God. Now, we don't want to limit him. If he chooses to give me what I've heard some call an open vision. My grandmother had an open vision. And Jesus, she's laying in bed, right? Her and my grandma alive and good. And she told me this herself. She's laying in bed there, you know, it's early in the morning, and she hears footsteps coming down the hall. And Jesus walks in the room. And he says, two, follow me. And he turned and walked out. And she said, Steve, I did not want to get out of bed because I was sure he was in the kitchen. And she said, I've always wondered what the word two meant, right? But see, right after that point, my uncle, I think Clint or Roger, got saved. They began to go with Young Life, and people in our family started getting saved, right? But a lot of people began to follow the Lord at that point. And I believe he was calling our entire family at that point. Because I asked a professor, a Bible college professor, who was a Greek scholar. And I told him the story. And he said, you know what, I'll look up that word and I'll tell you when, next time we have class. Two, right? So he shows up, he goes, you know what that word means? It means you or you and your family. So these things do happen. They do. But let's let him decide when and to who. For the rest of us and them too, really, this is how he speaks. Hallelujah. And to your spirit, by his spirit, to your spirit. There's nothing more intimate than learning to learn to behavior. Right? If I'm just watching the news all day, the news will be speaking to me all day. If I'm just watching sports all day, then sports will be speaking to me all day. If I'm listening to country music all day, country music will be speaking to me. I'll hear it. But if I'm in this, if I'm spending time with him, I will hear his voice and I won't have to question it. What was that? Gloria Copeland said yesterday in one of her, it's like a teaching from a few years ago, but basically she said, if you're abiding in Christ, you'll hear his voice. If you're not, then you'll wonder. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am abiding in Christ. I hear his voice. I hear the voice of the Spirit, and I follow him. I mean, we followed him here today. Amen. This church did not come out of my mind. Right? Shelly and I don't do this because we got offended at somebody else and wanted to show people how to do real ministry. No. We did this because the Spirit of God led us to do this. And what a joy it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he speaks to me spirit to spirit, I'm listening, I hear, and I obey. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll... Hallelujah. And I just believe that having that mindset, right? Having that mindset is going to cultivate an environment in this place where people walk in bound and they leave free. They walk in spiritually blind and they leave with clear vision. They walk in sick and leave healed. Glory to God, right? So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Just thank him. Lord, we thank you for your words to us today. We accept our call and our purpose to be a church. Hallelujah. We say, welcome, Holy Spirit, have your way. We choose to live our lives in Christ, to follow his leadership, to walk in love, to live by faith, to celebrate God and be people of praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for these core values, these precious things that you want here in this place, this environment of faith and prayer and praise and discipleship. This is the glory of God filling this place. That people will come in from the north, south, east, and west and leave changed by the power of God and take change to their world. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say, I'm committed to the process, Lord. I'm committed to the process. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.